Constitutional law, I federal judicial power. Issue, federal judicial power. Rule, U.S. Constitution requires case and controversy for federal courts to hear the case. Case and controversy clause prohibits federal courts from rendering adversary opinions. Also, federal courts may not hear a collusive case where there is no real dispute between the parties. Federal courts will hear the case if 1. P is standing, 2. The case or the issue is ripe, 3. The case or the issue is not moot, and 4. The case or the issue does not involve political question. Issue, standing cell rule. Answer pattern. Before a plaintiff may sue in federal court, she must show that she has a sufficient stake in the controversy and will suffer an injury in fact that will be remedied by a decision in her favor. In this case, standing is the question of whether the P is the proper party to bring the matter to the court for adjudication. As a general rule, P.S. only may assert injuries that they personally have suffered. If P.S. are seeking injunctive or declaratory relief, P.S. must show the likelihood of future harm. Also, the P.S. must allege and prove that the D caused the injury so that a favorable court decision is likely to remedy the injury. Generally, P cannot assert claims of third parties who are not before the court. However, there are some exceptions. Third party standing is allowed if 1. There is a close relationship between the P and the injured third party, 2. The injured third party is unlikely to assert her own rights, or 3. Some situation allows an organization to sue for its members. For 1. Doctor-patient relationship allows doctor to argue abortion rights for her patient. For 1. The father lacks standing to sue on behalf of daughter, who is not in his custody. For 2. Criminal D.S. have third party standing to raise rights of prospective jurors to be free from race or gender bias during the jury selection process because prospective jurors experiencing bias are unlikely to sue. For 3. An organization may sue for its members if 1. The individual members would have standing to sue, 2. The interests are germane to the organization's purpose, and 3. Neither the claim nor relief requires participation of individual members. The P must not be suing solely as a citizen or a taxpayer interested in having the government follow the law. However, taxpayers may have standing to challenge government expenditure as violating establishment clause, e.g., government gave a special favor to a particular religion. Issue, ripeness rule. Answer pattern. Defendant may argue that the issue is not ripe for review because ripeness is the question of whether a federal court may grant pre-enforcement review of a statute or regulation. E.g., when P seeks declaratory judgment, ripeness is measured by 1. The hardship that will be suffered without pre-enforcement review, 2. The fitness of the issues and the record for judicial review. For 1. As hardship increases, more likely court will hear the case. 2. Is whether the courts have everything they need to decide the case issue. Mootness rule. The federal court will not hear a case that has become moot. The real, live controversy must exist at all stages of review. However, where there is a reasonable expectation that the same complaining party will be subjected to the same action and would again be unable to resolve the issue because of the short duration of the action, the controversy will not be deemed moot in this case. If events after the filing of a lawsuit end the P's injury, the case must be dismissed as moot. However, there are some exceptions. 1. Wrong capable of repetition but evading review, see above answered pattern. 2. Voluntary cessation, the case is not moot, where D voluntarily ceases to take certain action but can resume the action afterward at any time. 3. Class action, even if the named P's case is moot, the action will not be dismissed so long as a member of the class is injured. Issue, political question doctrine rule. The political question doctrine refers to allegations of constitutional violations that the federal courts will not adjudicate. Examples of cases that are always dismissed as political question are 1. Cases under Article IB, Republican Form of Government Clause, 2. Challenges to the President's conduct of foreign policy, 3. Challenges to impeachment and removal process, and 4. Challenges to partisan gerrymandering. A political party that controls the legislature draws the line of electoral disputes in order to maximize its seats in the legislature. Issue, Supreme Court review rule. Virtually all cases come to the Supreme Court by writ of certiorari. The SC has complete discretion on whether to grant writ of certiorari. Generally, the SC may hear cases only after there has been final judgment of 1. The highest state court, 2. Federal Court of Appeals, or 3. Three-judge federal district court. All cases from state courts and federal court of appeals come to the SC by right of certiorari. The SC is required to hear the case if the party so requires about the decision of 3-judge federal district courts. SC has original and exclusive jurisdiction for suits between state governments. For the SC to review the state court decisions, there must not be an independent and adequate state law ground of decision. If a state court decision rests on ground of state law and if the SC's reversal of the federal law ground will not change the result in the case, the SC cannot hear it. If it is not clear whether the state court ruled on state law or federal law, If he may hear the case on the federal law ground issued, lower federal court review rule. In addition to above justifiability requirements, federal courts and state governments may not hear suits against state governments because of principle of sovereign immunity. The 11th Amendment bars suits against states in federal courts. Moreover, sovereign immunity bars suits against states in state courts or federal agencies. However, states may be sued if one state waives its sovereign immunity. 2. The lawsuit is brought pursuant to federal laws adopted under the 14th Amendment Section 5. 3. The lawsuit is brought by federal governments in federal courts, or 4. Bankruptcy proceeding. For 1. The waiver must be explicitly made. For 2. Congress cannot authorize suits against states under other constitutional provisions such as Commerce Clause. However, suits against state officers are allowed. State officers may be sued for injunctive relief. State officers may be sued for money damages to be paid out of their pockets. But state officers may not be sued if the state treasury will be paying retroactive damages. Federal courts may not enjoin pending state court proceedings. However, may enjoin pending state court proceedings if a state court prosecution is conducted in bad faith, e.g., merely to harass. The 11th Amendment does not bar the local governments to be sued in a federal court. Federal legislative power issues. Congress authority to act rule. If Congress moves to act, there must be express or implied congressional power. There is no general federal police power, unless it involves 1. Legislation for the military, 2. Indian tribes, 3. Federal land and territories, or 4. Legislation for the District of Columbia. States and local governments do have police power. Issue. Taxing and spending power. Art. I. Sections 8, Clause 1 Rule. Congress may regulate general welfare only if 1. It is acting under the taxing and spending power granted by Article I, Section 8, Clause 1. 4. It falls within one of the exceptions where Congress has police power. Issue. Commerce power. Art. I, Sections 8, Clause 2 Rule. Congress has the power to regulate interstate commerce with 1. Foreign nations, 2. Indian tribes, and 3. Activities between states. Commerce is all interstate intercourse and has 3 manifestations. Congress may regulate 1. The channels of interstate commerce, e.g., highways, internets, to the instrumentalities of interstate commerce and persons or things in interstate commerce, e.g., trucks, goods, and 3. Activities that have a substantial effect on interstate commerce. 4. 3. In the area of non-economic activity, a substantial effect cannot be based on cumulative impact, e.g., gender-motivated violence reduces economic activity by putting women in hospitals, but is not an economic activity. Therefore, Congress cannot regulate such act under the Commerce Clause issued. Congress power under Section 5 of the 14th Amendment rule. Congress may not create new rights or expand the scope of rights under Section 5 of the 14th Amendment. Congress may act only to prevent or remedy violations of rights recognized by the courts, and such laws must be proportionate and congruent to remedying constitutional violations. Moreover, Congress may not create rights that can be asserted against non-government's issues. Necessary and proper clause. Article I, Section 8, Clause 18 Rule. Answer pattern. Congress may exercise any enumerated powers and any powers to make all laws necessary and proper for carrying into execution its powers. Any means not prohibited by the Constitution are allowed, if it is necessary and proper for carrying out some authority granted by the Constitution to the Congress issued. 10th Amendment as a limit on congressional powers rule. Answer pattern. The 10th Amendment provides that all powers not delegated to the federal government by the Constitution are reserved to the states. This reservation of power is often cited as a restriction on Congress power to regulate the state. However, the SC will likely not to strike down on 10th Amendment grounds a regulation that subjects states or local governments to regulations that apply both to the public sector and private sector. It has held, in such cases, that the state's interests are best protected by the state's representation in Congress. In this case, the 10th Amendment does, however, limit Congress power to regulate the states alone by requiring the states to act in a particular way. Congress may not compel states to enact or enforce a regulatory or legislative action or program. In this case, however, Congress can induce state government action by putting strings on grants, so long as the conditions are expressly stated and are related to the purposes of the spending program. Congress may prohibit harmful commercial activity by state government because in this case Congress is not imposing the duty but it is prohibiting a commercial transaction. Issue. Delegation of powers rule. Congress may not delegate executive power to itself or its officers. Congress cannot have the power to implement a law, e.g., discretionary budget cutting after the budget is passed. Congress can give its power away, but cannot take the powers of the other branches. No limit exists on Congress' ability to delegate legislative power to executive agencies or even to judiciary. A delegation of legislative power must be accompanied by intelligible principles. The legislative veto is unconstitutional because there is no bicameralism and presentment for Congress to act. There always must be bicameralism, passage by both the House and the Senate, and presentment giving the bill to the president to sign or veto. The president must sign or veto the bill in its entirety. Line item veto are always unconstitutional when Congress wants to overturn executive action. 1. Both the Senate and the House must pass the resolution, and the resolution must be presented to the president. Anything less is unconstitutional. Federal executive power issues. Federal executive power rules. Answer pattern. The entire federal executive power is vested in the president under Article II, Section 1 of the U.S. Constitution. Issue. Foreign policy rule. 1. Treaties. Treaties are agreements between the U.S. and a foreign country that are negotiated by the president and are effective when ratified by the Senate. In order to void a treaty, the president is not required to obtain consent of the Senate. Treaties prevail over conflicting state laws. If a treaty's conflicts with a federal statute, the one adopted last in time controls. If a treaty conflicts with the U.S. Constitution, it is invalid too. Executive agreement. Executive agreement is an agreement between U.S. and a foreign country that is effective when signed by the president and the head of the foreign nation. No Senate approval is required for executive agreements. Executive agreements can be used for any purpose. No executive agreement has ever been struck down for being a violation of the Senate's approval power. Executive agreements prevail over conflicting state laws, but never over conflicting federal law or the Constitution. Issue. Powers as Commander-in-Chief rule. The President has broad powers as Commander-in-Chief to use American troops in foreign countries. President has extensive military powers, including the power to act over domestic affairs involving military necessities. Use of U.S. troops in foreign countries has never been held unconstitutional. Congress has the power to declare war. However, the President may send troops to foreign countries, even if Congress has not declared war. Issue. Domestic affairs/veto rule. The president has the power to veto legislation. But line item veto is unconstitutional issue. Appointment power rule. The president appoints ambassadors, federal judges and officers of the U.S. The appointment must be approved by the Senate to take effect. Congress may vest the appointment of inferior officers in the president, the heads of departments or the lower federal courts. Inferior officers are officers who can't be fired by their supervisor. Congress may not give itself or its officers the appointment power. Congress cannot appoint agency heads. Issue. Removal power rule. Unless removal is limited by statute, the president may fire any executive branch office for Congress to limit removal. 1. It must be an office where independence from the president is desirable, and 2. Congress cannot prohibit removal. It can only limit removal to cases where there is good cause. For 1. Congress may limit removal of special prosecutors, who investigate the wrongdoing by the president or high-level executives. Congress may not limit removal or cabinet issues. Executive order rule. The president may issue executive orders, subject to the following three-part test. 1. Where the president acts with the express or implied authority of Congress, his authority is at its maximum and his actions likely are valid. 2. Where the president acts where Congress is silent, his action will be upheld as long as the act does not take over the powers of another branch of the government or prevent another branch from carrying out its tasks. 3. Where the president acts against the express will of Congress, he has little authority and his action likely is invalid. Issue. Executive privilege rule. The president has executive privilege for presidential papers and conversations, but such privilege must yield to other important government interests. To determine this, balancing president's interest in maintaining the privilege with Congress' interest in disclosure is necessary. Executive privilege allows the president to keep the materials confidential issued. Pardon power rule. The president has the power to pardon those accused or convicted of federal crimes. The president cannot pardon the person who was impeached. The president cannot pardon the person convicted of state crimes. The president cannot pardon the person from civil liability issue. Removal, impeachment and liability rule. The president, the vice president, federal judges and officers of the U.S. can be impeached and removed from the office for treason, bribery, or for high crimes and misdemeanors. Impeachment itself does not remove a person from office. In order to remove a person from the office, he must be convicted by the Senate. Impeachment by the House of Representatives requires a majority vote. Conviction in the Senate requires a two-thirds vote. The president has absolute immunity to civil suits for money damages for any actions while in office. However, the president does not have any immunity for his act that allegedly occurred before he took the office. IV. Federalism issues. Preemption rule. Answer pattern. Where both the state and federal government pass legislation on the same subject matter, the Supremacy Clause provides that the federal law is supreme, and the conflicting state law is rendered void. The local law will fail under the Supremacy Clause, even if it does not conflict with federally regulated conduct or objectives. If it appears that Congress intended to occupy the entire field, the Supremacy Clause of Article III provides that the Constitution, and laws and treaties made pursuant to it, are the supreme law of the land. Express preemption. If a federal statute expressly says that it wholly occupies the field, all other state law is preempted. If the purpose of the federal statute and the state statute is different, it is likely that the intent of the federal statute is not to occupy the field which the state statute is regulating. Implied preemption. Even if law is silent, federal law preempts state law. If one federal and state law are mutually exclusive, two state law impedes the achievement of a federal objective, or three Congress evidences a clear intent to preempt state law through legislative history. Example of one. If a person is not able to conform with both federal and state law at the same time, they are mutually exclusive in the environmental law area, state can impose restrictions stricter than federal restrictions, unless the federal statute explicitly prohibits 4-2 state law that conditions some benefit on not using federal procedures or seeking relief from the federal government. The state law will be preempted. Example of three. Immigration law. States cannot regulate immigration because Congress clearly intends to occupy the field issued. Intergovernmental immunities rule. States may not tax or regulate federal government activity unless Congress consents to the taxation or the regulation. It is unconstitutional to pay state tax out of federal treasury issue. Inherent federal powers rule. Some powers inherently belong exclusively to the federal government, e.g., war power, federal citizenship, neutralization, borrowing money on the credit of U.S. answer pattern. Powers that are exclusively federal because of express or inherent constitutional limitations cannot be exercised by the state. The protection of national security is uniquely a federal concern since conflicting actions by states might subvert the federal system. States may also not take actions that might touch upon foreign relations. Issue. Dormant Commerce Clause rule. State local laws are unconstitutional if they place undue burden on interstate commerce. Power to regulate foreign commerce lies exclusively in Congress. States may not regulate foreign commerce. Answer pattern. States may regulate those activities which are purely local and which do not impose an unreasonable burden on interstate commerce. Issue. Privileges and Immunities Clause of Article IV, Section 2 rule. State may not deny citizens of other states the rights and privileges that it provides its own citizens. Residence. The clause applies when the state government discriminates out-of-staters. Citizens does not include organization, corporation, and aliens issued. Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment rule. States may not deny their citizens the privileges or immunities of national citizenship. The privileges or immunities of national citizenship here is the right to petition Congress for redress of grievances, the right to vote for federal officers, and the right to interstate travel. Corporations are not protected by this clause. Issue. Question and answer patterns of Privileges and Immunities Clause of IV and Dormant Commerce Clause rule. The first issue is whether the state law in question discriminates against out-of-staters. If the law discriminates against out-of-staters, and if the law discriminate with regard to their ability to earn their livelihood or their civil liberties, it violates the Privileges and Immunities Clause of Article IV, unless it is necessary to achieve an important government purpose. The state government must show important government purpose, and that there is no less discriminatory option. To use this analysis, there must be discrimination against out-of-staters, and discrimination must be regarding civil liberties or the ability to earn a living. Important economic activity. Example: 1. Charging more to out-of-staters for shrimp fish license is unconstitutional. 2. Residency requirement for admission to bar is unconstitutional. 3. Denial of elk hunting license is constitutional. Corporations and aliens cannot invoke this provision. They can only rely on the Dormant Commerce Clause. If a natural person challenges discrimination by a state, he can invoke both the Dormant Commerce Clause and the Privileges and Immunities Clause of Art. IV. Moreover, if the law burdens interstate commerce, it violates the Dormant Commerce Clause, unless it is necessary to achieve important government purpose. However, if there is Congress approval or Congress acts, it is no longer dormant. The state or local government may prefer its own citizens in receiving benefits when it is acting as market participant, e.g., when buying or selling, hiring labor, or giving subsidies. A state college requires more tuition to out-of-staters than in-staters. The policy does not violate the Dormant Commerce Clause. The state cement plant charges more to out-of-staters than in-staters. The policy does not violate the Dormant Commerce Clause. If the law does not discriminate, then the Privileges and Immunities Clause of Art. IV does not apply. However, even if the law does not discriminate against out-of-staters, if it burdens interstate commerce, then it violates the Dormant Commerce Clause, provided that its burdens exceed its benefits. The court balances the burden on interstate commerce with the benefit of regulation. If the burden outweighs the benefit, the regulation violates the Dormant Commerce Clause issued. State taxation of interstate commerce rule. states may not use their tax systems to help in-state businesses. Example, less tax for purchase of in-state dairy products than out-of-state dairy products. The taxation is unconstitutional. The state may tax activities only if there is substantial nexus to the state. State taxation of interstate businesses must be fairly apportioned. Import-Export Clause, Article I, Section 10, Clause 2. A state may not impose a tax on import or export of goods, unless Congress consents issue. Full faith and credit rule. Courts in one state must give full faith and credit to judgment of courts in another state, so long as one the court that rendered the judgment had jurisdiction over the parties and the subject matter. The court must have both personal and subject matter jurisdiction to the judgment was on the merits, and 3 the judgment is final. The structure of the Constitution's protection of individual liberties issued. State action doctrine rule. The Constitution applies only to government action, including action by all government officers and at all levels. Municipal, county, state, private conduct need not comply with the Constitution. A person cannot sue a private university for violation of First Amendment rights. Congress, by legislating statute, may apply constitutional norms to private conduct. E.g., Congress can prohibit race discrimination by private entity by legislation. The 13th Amendment can be used to prohibit private race discrimination. Discrimination itself does not violate the 13th Amendment, only slavery does. However, discrimination may violate the statute enacted under Section 2 of the 13th Amendment. The commerce power can be used to apply constitutional norms to private conduct. E.g., the Civil Rights Act of 1964 was enacted under the Commerce Clause. Congress cannot use Section 5 of the 14th Amendment to regulate private behavior. E.g., Congress cannot regulate gender-motivated violence by private persons under Section 5 power. Issue. State action doctrine continued rule. Exceptions. Situations where private conduct must comply with the Constitution. Public function exception. The Constitution applies if a private entity is performing a task that has been traditionally and exclusively done by the government. E.g., Constitution applies to company towns. Running the town has been traditionally and exclusively performed by the government. Constitution does not apply to private utility services. Entanglement exception. The Constitution applies if the government affirmatively authorizes, encourages, or facilitates unconstitutional activity. Case laws are very inconsistent. The court mainly uses this doctrine in cases of race discrimination, but some are not. 1. The court cannot enforce a racially restrictive covenant to there is state action. When the government provides free books to a private school that discriminates. 3. There is no state action. When a private school 99% funded by the state fires a teacher based on the content of her speech. Government subsidy is not sufficient for state action to apply, for there is not state action. When NCEAA orders suspension of state university coach. 5. There is state action. When a private entity regulates the interstate sport activities. 6. There is not state action. When a private club that has liquor license from the state discriminates. Issue. Application of the Bill of Rights rule. The Bill of Rights applies directly only to the federal government. The Bill of Rights is applied to state and local government through its incorporation into the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, except 1. The Second Amendment right to bear arms. 2. The Third Amendment right to not have soldiers quartered in a person's home. 3. The Fifth Amendment right to grand jury indictment in criminal cases. 4. The Seventh Amendment right to jury trial in civil cases. And 5. The Eighth Amendment right against excessive fines. Excessive bails issued. Level of scrutiny rule. Rational basis test. Under the rational basis test, the law would be upheld if it is rationally related to a conceivable legitimate government purpose or interest. The person who challenges the law must show the law has no conceivable legitimate purpose or is not rationally related to that purpose. The purpose does not have to be the primary purpose of the law. Intermediate scrutiny. Under the intermediate scrutiny, the law would be upheld if it is substantially related to an important actual government purpose or interest. The purpose must be a primary purpose of the law. The law does not have to be least restrictive way to achieve the purpose. The government has the burden of proof. Strict scrutiny. Under the strict scrutiny, the law would be upheld if it is necessary to achieve a compelling actual government purpose or interest. The law must be the least restrictive means to achieve the purpose. The government has the burden of proof. The due process issue. Procedural due process rule. Fifth Federal and 14th State Amendment. Procedural due process is the procedures that the government must follow to deprive someone of life, liberty, or property. The first issue is whether there has been a deprivation of life, liberty, or property. The deprivation of liberty occurs if there is the loss of a significant freedom provided by the Constitution or a statute, usually about Constitution rights. But for statute, 1. Except in an emergency, before an adult can be institutionalized, there must be a notice and hearing. 2. When a parent institutionalizes a child, only requirement is a screening by a neutral fact finder. 3. Harm to reputation, by itself, is not a loss of liberty. need a tangible injury and four prisoners rarely have liberty interests. The deprivation of property occurs if one there is an entitlement and that entitlement is not fulfilled. Entitlement exists when there is a reasonable expectation to continue receipt of a benefit. The court used to distinguish between rights and privileges. Taking away privileges was not a due process issue. However, this distinction is abolished. Current analysis is based on entitlement. If a person is hired for a set period term employment, he has a reasonable expectation of employment for that period. But he does not have a reasonable expectation that the contract will be renewed when the term has expired. Also, if the employee can be fired any time without cause, he does not have any entitlement. Government negligence is not sufficient for a deprivation of due process. Generally, there must be intentional government action or at least reckless action for liability to exist. However, in emergency situations, the government is liable under due process only if its conduct shocks the conscience. If a high-speed police chase kills a teenage bystander, the government has no liability. The government did not have any intent to kill him. Generally, the government's failure to protect people from privately inflicted harms does not deny due process. If the Child Protective Services fails to respond to allegations of abuse, which leads to the child's death, the government is not liable. Issue: Procedural Due Process Continued Rule. If there is a deprivation or rights, then, next issue is what procedures are required. What procedures are required is determined by the balancing test. In the balancing test, the court will balance 1. The importance of the interest to the individual, 2. The ability of additional procedures to increase the accuracy of the fact-finding, and 3. The government interest in administrative efficiency. 4.2. Increasing accuracy means reducing occurrences of erroneous deprivations. 4.3. Administrative efficiency is usually measured by its cost. Examples: 1. Before a person's welfare benefits can be terminated, there must be notice and hearing. 2. When Social Security disability benefits are terminated, a post-termination hearing is enough. 3. When a student is disciplined by a public school suspended, there must be notice of charges and an opportunity to explain. 4. Before parents' right to a child parental custody is permanently terminated, notice and hearing is required. 5. Punitive damage awards require instructions to the jury and judicial review. Grossly excessive punitive damages might violate due process. 6. American citizen apprehended in another country and held as an enemy combatant must be given due process notice of charges, representation by an attorney, and meaningful factual hearing. 7. Except in exigent circumstances, government seizure of assets or prejudgment attachment must be preceded by notice and hearing. Exigent circumstances mean defendant would dispose of property if given notice of the seizure. In that case, the government can attach it first, and then have notice and hearing. 8. A government may seize a property used for illegal activity. Due process does not require an innocent owner defense to government seizure. E.g., 2 people own a car. One person commits a crime, and the car, which was used in the crime, is impounded by the government. The co-owner cannot recover the car by arguing that she did not participate in the crime. Issue: Substantive Due Process Rule. Substantive due process requires the government to have adequate reason, substantive basis for taking life, liberty or property. Issue: Economic Liberties Rule. The Constitution provides only minimal protection for economic liberties. Only a rational basis test is used for laws affecting economic rights, e.g. minimum wage law, regulation of a profession issue. Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment Rule. The government may take private property for public use if it provides just compensation. First issue is whether there is a taking. When there is government confiscation or physical occupation of property, there is a taking, possessory taking. No matter how small the amount of property is, there must be compensation. When there is government regulation which leaves no reasonable economically viable use of the property, the government regulation constitutes regulatory taking. Mere reduction in value is not taking, e.g. 1. Government zoning that prevents any development on the real property is a taking. 2. A restriction on reconstruction of a historical building is not taking, if the building can still be used. Government conditions on development of property must be justified by a benefit that is roughly proportionate to the burden imposed. Otherwise, it is taking. A property owner may bring a takings challenge to regulations that existed at the time the property was acquired. Even if a person buys the property knowing of the restriction, it does not limit her ability to bring the claim. Temporarily denying an owner use of property is not a taking, so long as the government's action is reasonable. E.g. 3-year moratorium on building for environmental reasons was reasonable and temporary, so it is not a taking. If there is no taking, then there is no government compensation is required. Issue: Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment Continued Rule. If there is a taking, then the next issue is whether that taking is for public use. Taking is for public use so long as the government acted out of reasonable belief that the taking would benefit the public. Under this standard, the government may even take property and turn it over to a private business, as long as compensation is paid. If not for public use, the government cannot take the property. Issue. Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment Continued Rule. Then, final issue is whether just compensation is paid. Just compensation is measured by the loss to the owner in markup terms. Gain to the taker is irrelevant. If fair markup value is $100,000 and government takes it, later getting $10,000 in benefit, the compensation due is $100,000 issued. Contracts Clause of Article I, Section 10 Rule. States may not impair the obligation of contracts. Contracts Clause applies only to state and local interference with existing contracts. Contracts Clause does not apply to federal government. Contracts Clause applies only if the existing contract is interfered with. Interference with future contracts does not invoke the Contracts Clause. State and local interference with private contracts must meet intermediate scrutiny. The intermediate scrutiny here is one whether the legislation substantially impairs a party's rights under existing contracts. If so, then the law must be a reasonably and narrowly tailored means of promoting an important and legitimate public interest. State or local interference with government contracts must meet strict scrutiny. Issue. Ex post facto clause rule. Article I, Section 10 prohibits states to pass any ex post facto law. An ex post facto law is a law that criminally punishes conduct that was lawful when it was done or that increases the punishment for a crime after it was committed. The ex post facto clause does not apply in civil cases. Issue. Retroactive civil liability rule. Retroactive civil liability only need to meet the rational basis test issued. Bill of attainder rule. Article I, Section 10 prohibits states to pass any bill of attainder. The bill of attainder is a law that directs the punishment of a specific person or persons without a trial. Issue. Privacy substantive due process rule. Privacy is a fundamental right protected under substantive due process. Therefore, when government interferes with privacy, generally, the strict scrutiny applies. The one of exceptions is right to abortion, which is tested by undue burden test. The other exceptions are one right to engage in private consensual homosexual activity and two right to refuse medical treatment, which the court did not articulate the level of scrutiny. The recognized privacy rights are 1 right to marry and divorce, 2 right to procreate, 3 right to custody of one's children, 4 right to keep the family together, 5 right to control the upbringing of one's children, 6 right to purchase and use contraceptives, 7 right to abortion, 8 right to engage in private consensual homosexual activity, 9 right to refuse medical treatment. For 1 law requiring the counselor's approval for marriage is unconstitutional. For 2 laws authorizing sterilization is unconstitutional. For 3 a state can act to remove kids from abusive home. Also, the state can create an irrebuttable presumption that the mother's husband is the child's father. For 4 family include extended family. To be considered as a family, the individuals must be related to one another. Merely friend is not enough. For 5 parents have fundamental rights to send their children to parochial schools. For 7 see next page. For 8 the court did not articulate the level of scrutiny for this right. For 9 competent adults have the right to refuse medical treatment, even life-saving medical treatment. The court did not articulate the level of scrutiny for this right. The state may require clear and convincing evidence that a person wanted treatment terminated before it is ended. The state may prevent family members from terminating treatment for another. The intent of the person being treated is what matters, not the intent of their family. There is no constitutional right to physician-assisted suicide. Issue. Right to abortion rule. The strict scrutiny is not used for abortion. Prior to viability, states may not prohibit abortions, but may regulate abortions, so long as they do not create an undue burden on the ability to obtain abortions. A requirement for a 24-hour waiting period for abortion is not an undue burden. A requirement that abortions be performed by licensed physicians is not an undue burden. The prohibition of partial birth abortions is not an undue burden. Spousal consent and notification laws are unconstitutional. It is an undue burden on woman's ability to obtain abortion. Parental notice and consent laws for unmarried minors. State may require parental notice and/or consent for an unmarried minor's abortion, so long as it creates an alternative procedure where a minor can obtain an abortion by going before a judge who can approve the abortion by finding it would be in a minor's best interests or that she is mature enough to decide for herself. After viability, states may prohibit abortions unless necessary to protect the woman's life or health. The government has no duty to subsidize abortions or provide abortions in public hospitals. Issue. Rights triggering strict scrutiny rule. 1 right to marry, 2 right to procreate, 3 right to custody of children, 4 right to keep family together, 5. Right to control raising one's children. 6. Right to purchase and use contraceptives. 7. Right to travel covered under equal protection. 8. Right to vote covered under equal protection. 9. Freedom of speech covered under first. 10. Freedom of association covered under first. 11. Free exercise of religion. If the law burdening religion is not a neutral law of general applicability, covered under first issue. Rights triggering the undue burden test rule. Right to abortion issue. Rational basis test, not fundamental right rule. 1. Right to practice a trade or profession. 2. Right to physician assist suicide. 3. Right to education issue. Level of scrutiny not known rule. 1. Right to engage in private consensual homosexual activity. 2. Right to refuse medical treatment v.i.i. Equal protection issue. Equal protection rule. The Equal Protection Clause of 14th Amendment prohibits the states from denying any person within their jurisdiction equal protection of the law. The Equal Protection Clause applies only to state and local governments. The 14th Amendment never applies to federal government. Equal protection is applied to federal government through the Due Process Clause of the 5th Amendment issued. Classification based on race and national origin / rule. When the classification by the government in question is based on race and national origin, strict scrutiny is used, and it is unconstitutional unless it is necessary to achieve a compelling government interest. The government has the burden of proving the existence of a racial classification can be proven when the classification exists on the face of the law, e.g., a statute that prohibits blacks from serving on juries. However, if the law is facially neutral, a racial classification is proven only when both 1. Discriminatory impact and 2. Discriminatory intent are proven, e.g., discriminatory use of peremptory challenges based on race denies equal protection. Mere discriminatory impact does not trigger strict scrutiny. To racial classification benefiting minority affirmative action, strict scrutiny is still applied. When the government classifies based on race, the proper test is always strict scrutiny. However, numerical set-asides require clear proof of past discrimination. 50% set-aside for hiring police officers is constitutional if it is a remedy to past discrimination against blacks. Moreover, educational institutions may use race as one factor in admissions decisions to help minorities. UPenn has a compelling state interest in diverse student bodies. Giving additional points for admission purpose to applicants of particular race is unconstitutional. Seniority systems may not be disrupted for affirmative action issue. Gender classification rule. When the classification by the government in question is based on gender, intermediate scrutiny is used, and it is unconstitutional unless it is substantially related to an important government interest. The government has the burden of proving an exceedingly persuasive justification to support its actions. The existence of a gender classification can be proven when the classification exists on the face of the law. However, if the law is facially neutral, the gender classification is proven only when both 1. Discriminatory impact and 2. Discriminatory intent are proven. Height and weight requirement for admission to police officer draws only rational basis, unless there is intent to discriminate against women. Discriminatory use of peremptory challenges based on gender denies equal protection. Gender classification benefiting women that are based on role stereotypes will not be allowed. Such classification perpetuates those stereotypes, such as women are economically dependent on men. Gender classifications that are designed to remedy past discrimination and differences in opportunity will be allowed. Better social security benefits for women are constitutional, since women historically had less opportunity to earn income and thus saving for retirement. Issue. Alienage classification rule. When the classification by the state or local government in question is based on alienage, strict scrutiny is used, and it is unconstitutional unless the classification is necessary to achieve a compelling government interest. The government has the burden of proving. The government may not require U.S. citizenship. 1. To receive welfare benefit. 2. To practice law. 3. To join the civil service. Or 4. To be a notary public. When the alienation classification by the state or local government is concerning self-government and the domestic process, only rational basis test is used, and the classification would be upheld if it is rationally related to a legitimate government interest. The person who challenges the law must show the law has no conceivable legitimate purpose or is not rationally related to that purpose. Classifications concerning self-government and the domestic process are classifications for 1. Voting, 2. Serving on a jury, 3. Being a police officer, 4. Being a teacher, or 5. Being a probation officer. Only a rational basis test is used for congressional discrimination. Discrimination by federal government against aliens. The rationale is that, since Congress has plenary power to regulate immigration, Congress is not precluded from treating aliens less favorable than U.S. citizens. It appears that intermediate scrutiny is used for discrimination against undocumented alien children. State cannot charge undocumented alien children fees for attending school, while charging no fees to U.S. citizens and documented alien children. Issue. Discrimination against non-marital children. Legitimacy classification rule. When the classification by the government is based on legitimacy, intermediate scrutiny is used, and it is unconstitutional unless it is substantially related to an important government interest. The government has the burden of proving. Laws that deny a benefit to all non-marital children, but grant it to all marital children are unconstitutional. The government can give benefit to some non-marital children and not to other non-marital children. Issue. Other types of discrimination rule. Rational basis test is used to all the other types of classification. 1. Age discrimination. The government mandatory retirement age is constitutional to disability discrimination even under rational basis test. Preventing placement of a mental health facility by zoning is unconstitutional. 3. Wealth discrimination. Poverty is not a suspect category for economic regulations when economic regulation is challenged under either due process or equal protection. Only rational basis test applies. 5. Sexual orientation discrimination even under rational basis test. The Colorado State Constitution amendment that denies any special protection for gays is unconstitutional. Issue. Fundamental rights protected under equal protection. 1. Right to travel. Interstate travel rule. An individual has a fundamental right to migrate from state to state and to be treated equally after moving into a new state. Therefore, laws that prevent people from moving into a state must meet strict scrutiny. Moreover, durational residency requirements must meet strict scrutiny. The state can require no more than 50 days as a durational residency requirement before granting right to vote. The right to travel is also protected. Under the Privilege and Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment, right to international travel is not a fundamental right. Therefore, restrictions on foreign travel are subject to rational basis test issues. 2. Right to vote rule. The right to vote is a fundamental right. Thus, restrictions on that right, other than on the basis of residence, age, and citizenship, are invalid unless they can pass strict scrutiny. Poll taxes violate the right to vote. Property ownership requirement for voting or holding public office is generally unconstitutional. However, the government can't limit right to vote to property owners in a water district election. 1 person, 1 vote must be met for all state and local elections. Electoral districts must be about equal in population. At large elections are constitutional, unless there is proof of a discriminatory purpose. At large election is all voters vote for candidates for all open seats. The use of race in drawing election district lines must meet strict scrutiny. Counting uncounted votes without pre-existing standards in a presidential election violates equal protection candidate qualifications. The state may not charge candidates a fee that results in making it impossible for indigents to run for office. The state may require candidates to show reasonable support from voters issued. 3. Right to education rule. There is no fundamental right to education under the Equal Protection Clause of the III. First Amendment issues. Content-based restrictions rule. Answer pattern. To justify content-based regulation of speech, the government must show that the regulation is necessary to serve the compelling state interest and is narrowly drawn to achieve that end. In this case, content-based restrictions on speech generally must meet strict scrutiny. There are two types of content-based laws: 1 subject matter restrictions, which is application of the law depending on the topic of the message; 2 viewpoint restrictions, which is application of law depending on the ideology of the message. Example of 1. An attempt to limit all forms of speech except on the topic of labor dispute. Example of 2. Restricting anti-war speech while allowing pro-war speech. Attacks applicable to both press, e.g., newspapers and non-press, generally does not violate the First Amendment. However, attacks imposed solely on the press violates the First Amendment issues. Content-neutral time, place, or manner restrained rule. Answer pattern. Content-neutral speech regulations are subject to intermediate scrutiny and will be upheld if the government can't show that 1. They advance important interests unrelated to the suppression of speech, and 2. They do not burden substantially more speech than necessary to further those interests. In this case, all speech, probably in a certain form such as picketing, is unconstitutional. Issue. Prior restraints slash rule. Answer pattern. We'll first argue that law is unconstitutional as a prior restraint. The prior restraint is any governmental action that would prevent a communication from reaching the public. Prior restraints are generally disfavored. When the government adopts a content-based, prior restraint of speech, the government has the burden of proving that the restriction is narrowly tailored, the least restrictive alternative to achieve a compelling or, at least, significant government interest, and certain procedural safeguards must be provided. Standards of procedural safeguards must be narrowly drawn, reasonable and definite. Injunction must promptly be sought, and must be prompt and final determination of the validity of restraint. In this case, court orders suppressing speech, e.g., gag order, the temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction, must meet strict scrutiny. Procedurally proper court orders must be complied with until they are vacated or overturned. The person who violates a court order is barred from later challenging it. The government can require a license for speech, Only if there is important reason for licensing, and clear criteria leaving almost no discretion to the licensing authority. Licensing schemes must contain procedural safeguards, such as prompt determination of requests for licenses and judicial review of denied requests issued. Vagueness rule. Answer pattern. A law that fails to give persons reasonable notice of what is prohibited is void for vagueness. The law must clearly define what speech is regulated, so that persons know what speech is permissible. In this case, e.g. city ordinance that prohibits selling of books that tend to corrupt morals issued. Overbreadth rule. The law is unconstitutional for overbreadth if it regulates substantially more speech than the Constitution allows to be regulated. E.g. city ordinance that prohibits all limb entertainment issued. Fighting words laws rule. Fighting words, which are words that, when addressed to ordinary citizen, are inherently likely to incite immediate physical retaliation, are not protected by First Amendment. However, in many cases, laws prohibiting fighting words falls into vague or overbroad and thus unconstitutional. Also, a fighting words law that only punishes certain viewpoints, e.g., proscribing only fighting words that insult on the basis of race, religion, or gender, is not allowed by the Supreme Court. Issue. Symbolic speech rule. The First Amendment protection would be extended to symbolic acts or conducts undertaken to communicate an idea. However, the government can regulate such conducts, if one, it has an important interest unrelated to suppression of the message, two, if the impact on communication is no greater than necessary to achieve the government's purpose, e.g. one, flag burning is constitutionally protected speech, two, draft card burning is not protected speech, three, nude dancing is not protected speech, four, burning a cross is protected speech, unless it is done with an intent to threaten or intimidate, five, money contribution limits in political campaigns are constitutional, but expenditure limits are unconstitutional. A statute that limits election campaign contributions must meet intermediate scrutiny issue. Anonymous speech rule. Anonymous speech is protected by the First Amendment issue. Incitement of illegal activity rule. Government can burden or punish if speech creates a clear and present danger of imminent lawless action. Such speech must be 1. Directed to producing or inciting imminent lawless action, and 2. Is likely to produce or incite such imminent lawless action. Issue. Obscenity and sexually oriented speech rule. Answer pattern. Obscene speech is not protected by First Amendment. Obscenity is a depiction of sexual conduct that, taken as a whole, by the average person, applying contemporary community standards, 1. Appeals to the prurient interest in sex, 2. Portrays sex in a patently offensive way, and 3. Under a national standard, does not have serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific lapse value. The determination of whether material is obscenity is a question of fact for a jury. In this case, the government may use zoning ordinances to regulate the location of adult bookstores and movie theaters, but may not prohibit entirely. Child pornography may be completely banned, even if not obscene. Child pornography must use actual children in production. If no actual children is used, e.g., computer images, it is not child pornography. The government may not punish private possession of obscene materials, but the government may punish private possession of child pornography. Possession of obscene materials outside one's home may be constitutionally punished. The government may seize the assets of businesses convicted of violating obscenity laws, e.g., seizing assets worth $9M is constitutional, even if only 7 items were found obscene. Profane and indecent speech is generally protected by the First Amendment. Wearing a jacket that says fuck the draft is protected speech, unless 1. Over the broadcast media, or 2. In schools, 1. Only applies to free broadcast media, not to cable TV or the internet. 4.2. School officials have discretion in punishing their student speech issues. Commercial speech rule. As a general rule, commercial speech is protected by First Amendment if it is truthful. However, commercial speech that has purposes of unlawful activity or that is misleading or fraudulent may be burdened. Any other regulation of commercial speech will be upheld only if it passes intermediate scrutiny. 1. It serves a substantial government interest, 2. Directly advances that interest, and 3. Is narrowly tailored to serve that interest. Narrowly tailored, here, does not need to be the least restrictive alternative, but must be a reasonable fit between the purpose and the means chosen. The government may prevent professionals from advertising or practicing under a trade name. B/C trade names inherently risk deception. The government may prohibit attorneys from in-person solicitation of clients for profit. If a lawyer offers free representation, that is protected speech. If a lawyer sends a letter, that is protected speech. The government may not prohibit accountants from in-person solicitation of clients for profit. It is constitutional to prohibit solicitation for 30 days from the date of accident, in order to protect the privacy of accident victims. The government can ban all solicitations in dormitories rather than the less restrictive option of haven the solicitor's register. The government regulation that bans all truthful advertisement of lawful goods is likely to be unconstitutional. B/C Such regulation is not narrowly tailored issue. Defamation rule. Defamatory speech can be burdened. However, if the defamatory statement is about a public official or public figure, or involves a public concern, the First Amendment requires a plaintiff to prove all the elements of defamation plus falsity and some degree of fault. If the P is a public official or running for public office, the P can recover for defamation by proving with clear and convincing evidence 1. Falsity of the statement and 2. Actual malice. Actual malice means that the D knew the statement is false or acted with reckless disregard for the truth. If the P is a public figure, same. Public figure is a person who thrust himself in the limelight. If the P is a private figure and the matter is of public concern, that state may allow the P to recover compensatory damages by proving 1. Falsity and 2. Negligence by the D. A matter of public is a matter that public has legitimate interest. However, P may recover presumed or punitive damages only by showing actual malice. If the P is a private figure and the matter is not of public concern, the P can recover presumed or punitive damages without showing actual malice issues. Privacy rule. The government may not create liability for the truthful reporting of information that was lawfully obtained from the government newspaper cannot be sued for publishing a true fact once it is lawfully obtained from the public record. The victim of a crime cannot sue the news media for revealing her name, so long as the media lawfully obtained the information from public records, and the information was accurately broadcasted. Liability is not allowed if the media broadcasts a tape of an illegally intercepted call, if 1. The media did not participate in the illegality, and 2. It involves a matter of public importance. If someone illegally records a cell phone conversation and gives it to the media cannot be sued for invasion of privacy. The government may limit its dissemination of information in order to protect privacy. Press and public have First Amendment right to attend criminal trials and pre-trial criminal proceedings. This right may not be restricted, unless there is compelling interest that outweighs the right answer pattern. The First Amendment grants the public and press the right to attend criminal trials. This right may be outweighed by overriding interest articulated in findings by the trial judge, interest for a fair trial. In this case, issue, time, place, and manner restrictions rule. The government has power to regulate the conduct associated with speech and assembly, although the breadth of this power depends on whether the forum involved is 1. A public forum, 2. A designated or limited public forum, or 3. A non-public forum. Issue 1. Public forums. 2. Designated limited public forums rule. Public forum is public property that has historically been open to speech-related activities, e.g., streets, sidewalks, and public parks. Designated limited public forum is public property that has not historically been open to speech-related activities, but which the government has thrown open for such activities by practice or policy, e.g., schoolrooms after school opened for social, civic, or recreation groups. The government may regulate speech in public forums and designated public forums with reasonable time, place, manner regulation that 1. Are content neutral, 2. Are narrowly tailored to serve an important government interest, and 3. Leave open alternative channels of communication. Prohibition of use of sound equipment on trucks in residential neighborhood at night is constitutional. Charitable solicitations for funds in residential areas are protected by First Amendment, but are subject to reasonable regulations. Government regulation of public forums need not use the least restrictive alternative. It is sufficient if the means is narrowly tailored to the governmental purpose. City officials cannot have discretion to set permit fees for public demonstrations. However, the regulation cannot give officials broad discretion, unfettered discretion over speech issues. There must be defined standards for applying the law. Issue 3. Non-public forums rule. Non-public forum is government property that has not historically been open to speech-related activities and not held open for such activities. E.g. 1. Military bases, 2. Advertisement space on city buses, 3. Sidewalks on post office property, 4. Airports, 5. Courthouses, 6. Schoolrooms during class, 7. Government workplaces. For 4. The government may prohibit solicitation of money, but may not prohibit distribution of literature. The government may regulate speech in non-public forums if 1. It is viewpoint neutral and 2. Reasonably related to legitimate government purpose issues. Right of access to private property rule. There is no First Amendment right of access to private property for speech purposes. There is no First Amendment right to use shopping centers and malls for speech issues. Freedom of association rule. Although the freedom of association is not mentioned explicitly in the Constitution, it is clearly implied from the rights that are explicitly noted. The government must pass strict scrutiny to regulate the freedom of association. 1. Laws that prohibit or punish group membership must meet strict scrutiny to punish membership in a group. It must be proven that 1. The person is actually affiliated with the group, 2. The person has knowledge of the group's illegal activity, and 3. The person specifically intends to further those illegal activities. 2. Laws that require disclosure of group membership, where such disclosure would chill association, must meet strict scrutiny. 3. Laws that prohibit a group from discriminating are constitutional, unless they interfere with intimate association or expressive activity. The state may make it illegal for private groups or clubs to discriminate. Intimate association, small dinner party, expressive activity. Boy Scout may exclude gay members as a way to express their anti-gay policy issue. Freedom of religion rule. The First Amendment prohibition on establishment of religion and its protection of the free exercise of religion is applicable to the states through the 14th Amendment issued. Free exercise clause rule. The free exercise clause prohibits government from punishing someone on the basis of her religious beliefs. The free exercise clause cannot be used to challenge government regulation unless the regulation is specifically designed to interfere with religion. Moreover, the free exercise clause does not require religious exemptions from generally applicable government regulations that happen to burden religious conduct. In other words, the free exercise clause cannot be used to challenge neutral law of general application. If the law was motivated by discrimination against a certain religion, or was targeted to a certain religion, strict scrutiny would apply. Exception: the government may not deny benefits to individuals who quit their jobs for religious reasons. Exception: SC has granted the Amish an exemption from a law requiring compulsory school attendance until age 16, based on free exercise clause and the fundamental right to educate one's children issue. Establishment clause rule. The establishment clause prohibits laws respecting the establishment of religion if the government regulation or action includes the preference for one religious sect over another. It is unconstitutional unless it passed strict scrutiny narrowly tailored to promote a compelling interest. If a government regulation or action contained no sect preference, it is constitutional if one it has a secular purpose, to its primary effect is neither to advance nor to inhibit religion, and 3. It does not produce excessive government entanglement with religion. The law that requires posting of the Ten Commandments in a classroom is unconstitutional. The government may not symbolically endorse a religion over a particular religion. The government generally cannot directly pay teachers in parochial schools. The law that discriminates against all religious speeches vis-a-vis non-religious speeches must pass strict scrutiny. Government-sponsored religious activity in public schools is unconstitutional, e.g., school prayers, including silent prayers, in a public school. Religious students and community groups must have the same access to school facilities as non-religious groups. The government may give assistance to parochial schools, so long as it is not used for religious instruction, e.g., computers. The government may provide parents with vouchers that they may use in parochial schools. The federal government may exempt religious organizations from its statutory prohibition against discrimination in employment on the basis of religion, at least regarding to their nonprofit activities. An approach to constitutional law question task: who is the actor in the question? Issue: Congress rule. Does Congress have the authority to act? Has Congress violated a limit on its power? Issue: President or federal executive branch rule. Has the president/executive branch exceeded the scope of executive power? Has the president/executive branch violated a limit on government power? Issue: Federal court rule. Does the federal court have the authority to hear the case? Issue: State/local government rule. Has the state/local government violated a limit on its power? Issue: Private non-government actor rule. Is there state action? If so, does it violate the Constitution?